B-Pod Studios.
All right, who's ready to get it?
And he's drunk. Shocker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Been a tough day. Now let's get our stream on.
Wait, hold up. Isn't it against terms of service for us to be drunk on the stream?
Yeah, actually it is. Dude, don't risk your channel on this. How about we just go grab like something to eat?
Yeah. That's like a total better plan. Like, I'll come pick you up. Well, hold on. Why don't we just drive ourselves?
No.
Come on, man. If you're too buzzed to game, you're too buzzed to drive. Now let's go.
Head to Michigan.gov for more information on how drinking and driving can be a game over for your life.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Radio. To listen to the full episode, go to CheckpointXP.com.
Stop blowing my mind!
We're rolling with continuous esports on the only show for esports and video games.
This is going to be absolute madness around!
No need for extra tokens. We've got the hookup. Checkpoint XP.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and video games. I'm James Campbell. Along with me is Robbie Landis and the man working to get the title of YouTube King of Gaming / Esports Drama. It's Weirdbeard. What's the juicy story you got going on over at the breakdown, Weirdbeard?
I'm talking about the rapper takeover of esports right now. Last week we had Logic, Pusha T, Upscale Vandal, and a few other people arguing with Drake because they were like,
oh my
Drake,
gosh,
you're investing in FaZe Clan? Cool, we're going to buy our own team. So they bought Chaos Esports Club.
It's like the esports version of the East Coast, West Coast hip-hop wars.
I'm excited for it, especially because like Drake gets dragged all the time, and now you have Pusha T, who they like had real rap beef.
They have beef too? Wow.
Like in real life, yeah, because Pusha T is the one that called out Drake for having a son that he didn't take care of or whatever like that.
Oh, Drake, you gotta get your stuff together, man.
No, one day.
All right, can't wait to hear more. How can they find the breakdown, Weirdbeard?
Go to our YouTube and look for My Ugly Face.
There you go. Gaming-related properties have been a big source for content on streaming services lately. It seems like each week we have a new announcement for a game or a series that's being adapted to a streaming service, like The Last of Us is coming to HBO Max, Fallout for Amazon, and now is no different. Netflix just dropped a new docuseries all about video games. It's called High Score. Has been blowing up, and we've all seen at least a portion of it. I think Weirdbeard, you've seen all of it. Do you want to kind of give us a rundown of the series?
It essentially charts the growth of video games all the way from Pong to the way it is today. One of my favorite standout moments is when they showed the Sega commercial that was like Sega does what Nintendo don't.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah. Like it
I
goes.
I don't remember that commercial.
It goes over the beefs. It goes over like E.T. being the commercial disaster that it was.
It kind of just hits on a bunch of like the big points of it. You know, there's one episode talking about the birth of the FGC.
Yep.
There's one episode
the fighting game community. Sorry. Okay.
Yep. There's another episode that focuses on role playing games and how. You know, it started with Dungeons and Dragons, and now you have these games like Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth a watch, right?
Absolutely.
And you mentioned it blowing up all across social media, which is interesting because it did, but it wasn't all positive. I feel like a lot of the gaming industry.
There's some negativity
about it. It would be in the realm of negativity, but I don't think it's in the realm of like this shouldn't be a thing or it shouldn't be made.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, those of us in the gaming industry, and I felt a little bit of this too, because a lot of what I was seeing or watching, I already knew because it was very sort of surface level stuff. And then it would jump from topic to topic pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And while some of it, you know, I would have been interested to learn more about. You know, specifically, there's so many topics in here that they probably could have made an entire episode dedicated to some of the things that they spend maybe, you know, 10 or 15 minutes on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of the gaming industry kind of sees this and it's like, yeah, we've saw this before. It feels like it's maybe pandery in a way, but I think that more so than that, I don't think that it's pandery. I think that instead what this is for is it's made more for people who, you know, maybe their kids are into gaming.
Correct.
Now. Or maybe,
a bit of
you know,
history.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. They're aware that it's out there, but they've never tried to get into it because they have no interest themselves in it. But being able to watch something like this, it's just something that shows you sort of the birth and some of the stories, you know, within the creation of the early days of gaming. It's interesting.
It's made for non-nerds. Like,
well,
it's made for people that just didn't grow up immersed in that entire culture of, like, when video games still weren't cool. Like, a lot of people don't understand that was a big beef between Sony.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the people that they interview are creators and early adopters of this technology. They're now in their, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s, right?
Yeah.
So it's not people who are currently in the industry, but
people
the industry
live through it and they're telling
the
their
industry
story,
have them to thank for their being in industry at all.
Like, they're just the way that we always say that there are no good movies about video games. There's not a ton of like info about the video game industry that's like documentaries or movies or anything like that.
I would agree, yeah.
This is like a 9 out of 10. Not perfect. It's not the most amazing piece of content that's ever been made. Is it bad? I wouldn't say that in any stretch of the mind.
Well, see, the thing that I found most interesting, I was always like, why is there a Mr. like a Pac-Man and a Ms. Pac-Man? Mm-hmm. And I thought it was very interesting, the story they went into, the company of the people who would modify things for the arcade cabinets.
And had to make Ms. Pac-Man to get around the legal stuff.
Yes, like, so it's like those like insider like little stories is what I find the most fascinating about it. You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and video games. Now, we want to talk to you on the phone. If you want to talk to us, give us a call at 1-833-557-0974. You can chime in on our social media outreach question that we have going on. I think like this week is what game do you find to be the most fun coming from the Gamescom announcement?
We also ask people what the last song you listened to, because that's now your boss battle theme.
Oh, man. Poor Lizzo. But you can give us a call. You can even call and ask us any questions you feel like the experts here can respond to. Again, it's 1-833-557-0974. We're just talking about the new video game docuseries on Netflix called High Score and whether or not it's worth watching. Well, another video game adaptation was also announced to be coming to Netflix. Robbie, what game's getting the adaptation treatment now?
This is definitely a AAA title, and that is the Resident Evil series. Now, I at first thought that it was an anime because video game animes like Castlevania have been doing very well on Netflix, but this is actually going to be an 8-episode series, live action.
Oh, live action.
It's going to be live action. Now, anyone who's watched a Resident Evil movie, the first one was okay. Everything that came after it, it got crazy, worse and worse and worse. Now, it's actually going to focus on Wesker's kids. Wesker is one of the main protagonists. He's one of the main antagonists, one of the bad guys that appears all throughout the franchise. He's kind of like one of those, you know, manipulating things from behind the scenes, you know, uses various eugenics programs to experiment on people. So this series is going to take place, and it's going to center on two kids that were a part of those experiments. And look, live action adaptations can be weird, especially when you're kind of going off of some original content. I think there are strengths to it. There's also weaknesses to it. But what has me worried is apparently this is going to be split across two different timelines.
Yikes.
What Netflix has said about it is that when the Wesker kids move to New Raccoon City, the secrets they uncover just might be the end of everything. In the first timeline, it's revealed that 14-year-old sisters Jade and Billy Wesker are moved to New Raccoon City, but the more time they spend there, the more they come to realize the town is more than it seems, and their father may be concealing dark secrets, secrets that could destroy the world. Cut to the second timeline, it's well over a decade into the future. There are less than 15 million people left on Earth and more than 6 billion monsters.
Ooh, wow. I just want to step in here. Is anybody here like a Resident Evil fan? I'm a fan of the games. I've played all of them.
I've dabbled a little bit. I've actually probably watched more of the movies than I have the game. So
I'm
going
with you,
into this, I think that I'm actually going to benefit from the fact that this is more new original content, because there's nothing I'm tied to that if I don't see it, I'm like, this isn't a Resident Evil movie.
I think, you know what though? Like the first Resident Evil movie, I learned this from watching a review of the first movie actually over the weekend. Do you know that they had George A. Romero tied in on the first one?
I think I actually did know that, yeah.
Guess what? That's why it's passable. All the other ones, terrible. I feel like, you know, in this, zombies are no longer scary. Walking Dead has shown us that. I think this is going to be a flaming garbage fire.
You need people that understand the material, and while it doesn't have to be a one-to-one translation, fans have to feel like the world is being respected.
Yes.
Now, I don't know who is attached to this, who's going to make it, so I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
Probably dumpster fires.
We'll see, but I don't know. I'm willing to give it a shot. 8 episodes, watching the first one, that ain't bad. And Netflix, more so than anybody else, I think, has had a decent track record of producing video game to streaming
content.
Because
they had The Witcher, right?
They had The Witcher. Castlevania's been doing very well.
Castlevania was good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, looking for a super cheap yet fun gaming recommendation? Maybe something to help fill your time while you're escaping the heat from the summer? Well, make sure you stick around for the free game of the week. That's coming up in just a bit. Because next, a hugely popular award-winning game, even a former Game of the Year winner, is getting turned into an augmented reality game on your mobile device. Which game? And what the heck is augmented reality? We'll let you know next on Checkpoint XP.
Hey, this is Norris Howard, host of Checkpoint AFK, where gamers and nerds come together and talk about everything away from the keyboard. Make sure you check us out, Checkpoint AFK, at BPod Studios, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.